Minutes, the turtle is free and let back into the river. Lawson says, despite the dangers posed by trash, speeding boats, and the occasional poacher, these animals seem to be doing well. In fact, he says, this odd urban population might actually be a sign that decades of sea turtle conservation are paying off. For NPR News, I'm Sandin Totten in Los Angeles.
This is NPR News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Labor Department today says that a modest rebound in gas costs and broad gains in other categories lifted consumer prices for the first time in 4 months. The consumer price index rose 0.2% in February after dropping 0.7% in January. Consumer prices were unchanged in the 12 months ending in February after slipping 0.1% in January from a year earlier. Outside food and energy core prices also rose 0.2% last month. China's manufacturing fell to the lowest level in nearly a year as new orders shrank. HSBC's preliminary manufacturing index, based on a survey of factory purchasing managers, dropped to an 11-month low of 49.2 in March from February's 50.7. The index is based on a 100-point system in which numbers above 50 indicate expansion. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 18,009. It's down 7 points. The NASDAQ 44.39, up almost 3. And the S&P 500 is 2,093, and it is down 1 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Another shot of cooler air is going to move into the Midwest a little bit later this week, and there will be widespread precipitation ahead of the event. We do have relatively quiet conditions occurring across the Midwest today, but there's some showers and thunderstorms that occurred overnight last night in portions of Missouri and northeastern Kansas and portions of eastern Nebraska. Even a little bit of light snowfall was reported in parts of Nebraska. This is part of the disturbance that will likely lead into the cooler air. It's actually going to occur in two surges, the first of which is moving through the region today, and we'll likely see that continuing to advance across the region, and we're likely to see only a narrow region being impacted by this first wave of precipitation. The second round of precipitation will probably be more significant. It will impact the lower and eastern portions of the Midwest in a more significant manner. Today's event will likely concentrate on Iowa, eastern Nebraska, Missouri, Illinois, and portions of southern Indiana, with some increased precipitation expected during the night tonight and early tomorrow, again in the western Corn Belt from Missouri into parts of eastern Iowa and Illinois. Then we'll see showers and thunderstorms becoming a little bit more concentrated as we move on into the afternoon on Wednesday and into Thursday morning. A line of thunderstorms will likely develop as colder air pours into parts of the Midwest. And that line of storms will come out of southeastern Missouri and parts of the northern Delta into portions of Ohio and Indiana. And that second wave of energy could produce some strong to severe thunderstorms in a few cases with some hail and some damaging wind, along with locally heavy amounts of rainfall. Overall, this two-wave system will likely leave behind a legacy of precipitation for quite a few areas in the Midwest. Overall, moisture totals will likely run from 0.2 to 0.75 inches from Iowa and parts of Kansas over to Ohio and southern Michigan and down into parts of northern Kentucky. That's the general amounts. Now, there will be some 1 to 2.5 inch amounts that will occur in some locations from southeastern Missouri into southern Indiana and southwestern Ohio associated with those strong to severe thunderstorms that will occur as we go from late Wednesday into the early Thursday. After the two-day event is over, we'll likely see drier bias conditions occur. Again, for a little while, a little reinforcing shot of cooler air will come into the region as we get into the weekend. This reinforcing shot of energy is likely to have an impact as we come into the late Saturday night and Sunday time period in the upper parts of the Midwest, with a little rain and snow mix expected there, and the precipitation will go ahead and shift to the southeast across the remainder of the northern and eastern portions of the Midwest as we get out into the day on Sunday. After that, we'll have a couple of days of relatively dry weather, and then we'll see some warmer air starting to push back into the region. That warmer air advancement will likely bring with it a chance for rain and thunderstorm activity, but it looks like a storm center may form in the delta and move northeastward from there, bringing the greatest rains back to the lowermost parts of the Midwest, primarily Kentucky, but also right at the Ohio River. And that event will likely take place as we get into the middle part of next week. Well, there will be a cool-off that takes place across the region for a little while here later this week. Frost and freezes will become widespread in the Midwest. We'll see low temperatures in the teens and 20s in a big part of the region, and it will not cause permanent damage to winter crops. That cold will reach down into the northern delta, the Tennessee River Basin, and portions of the interior southeastern states as well, with Saturday morning likely be coldest in some spots and Sunday morning in the Virginia Carolinas area. That cold air will burn back vegetative growth in wheat, but should not cause permanent harm. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter. May wheat is 565 and a quarter, down 9 and a quarter. July, 570 and a half, down 9 and a half. Soft May, 524 and three quarters, down 9 and a quarter. July, 529, down 9. May corn, 390, down a quarter. July, 397 and three quarters, down a quarter. December, 414, down a quarter. May soybeans, 978 and a half, down 5. July, 982 and three quarters, down 5 and a quarter. November, 960, down 5. May soybean meal, 324.70, down 260. May soybean oil, 30.95, down 20. April live cattle, 160.95, down 40. March feeders, 216.82 and a half, down 15. And April lean hogs, 59.55, and they are up 30 cents. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
A little bit of a turnaround Tuesday, but many expected that yesterday, actually.
Yeah, we are down some. Corn has actually been two-sided, so have beans in the overnight, but at the moment, down a little bit, not really going anywhere. End of the month, end of the quarter is helping some short covering. Also, ahead of the next week's report, a little bit short covering, evening up.
So both of those going on, and do we expect the balance of the week to be fairly subdued?
We really do. No big news out there. The only thing that would make it not subdued would be some news we hadn't thought of or hadn't talked about that would happen.
So we're beginning to crunch what the reports at the end of the month may tell us, Pete. And when we think about it, we are kind of in the camp that maybe the reports are at odds with one another, that maybe the planning and intentions report might be a little positive for corn, but the quarterly grain stock report might be a little negative for corn. And if that were the case, what do you think wins out on that argument?
I think it's just then the weather after the fact on there, and then on beans are expected to show more acres and thus be negative there and have higher carryout. So it's just a toss-up, and after it does come out, if you look at past history, 2 to 3 weeks later, if we opened higher and went higher, 2 to 3 weeks lower, we could easily be lower.
Down in the Delta, the window is quickly closing on corn planting?
Well, I don't know about quickly. They're behind. They still go for another 2 to 3 weeks, so we'll just have to see when and if they decide to switch to something else.
Hear a lot of people down there talking about the possibility, even though the margins aren't grand, and perhaps going back to cotton.
There are people talking that way, but it's a pretty expensive crop to plant.
What else is on your plate?
Just getting into next Tuesday's report, end of the month, end of the quarter, pretty much it.
So when you talk to producers, have they added to their hedging on this little pop that we saw in the last couple of days, or no?
Some have, but most haven't.
All right, Pete, thanks very much. You have a great day.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 565, down 9.5. July, 570.75, down 9.25. Soft May wheat, 525, down 9. July, 529.25, down 8.75. May corn, 389.75, down 0.5. July, 397.75, down 0.25. September, 404.75, down 0.75. December, 413.75, down 0.5. Let's go out to July of 16, where the price is 432.75, down 1.5. May soybeans, 977.5, down 6. July, 982.25, down 5.75. September, 965.75, down 5.75. November, 959, down 6. May soybean meal, 324.20, down 3.10. May soybean oil, 30.94, down 21 cents. April live cattle, 161, down 35. April lean hogs, 59.10, down 15. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.